of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
If you have never had communion with us before, I welcome you here. We have always just taken the entire service on communion Sundays to slow things down, to have kind of a little bit more of an unplugged service, and just quiet our hearts from the noise out there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The noise out there, the rush, the pace of life, and just to slow things down for an entire service and focus completely on the sacrifice that Christ made. And so if you've never been here for one of our communion services, I really pray that this will be a blessing to you. If you have your Bibles, open them please to 1 Peter, right near the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we'll be in just a moment. If you've been here for the last 6 weeks or so, you know that we've been going through a series on the gospel, a series called Good News. We've been diving into the gospel, what that is all about, what it means to us, what we're called to do with it if we've received the gospel, if we've been changed by the gospel. And so, as we were planning on finishing that series and coming to communion this morning, I just couldn't get past the thought that it would be very inappropriate for us to have talked all those weeks about the gospel and how its power has changed us and not pause on this communion Sunday and just extend that just a little bit and talk about one of the incredible benefits or outcomes of the gospel that we have benefited from. And it's a word that the Bible calls redeemed or redemption. Now, there are a lot of fancy church words that get thrown around that confuse a lot of people. You know, in church we talk about sanctification and justification and propitiation and redemption. And honestly, most people leave just sort of shell-shocked, not knowing what in the world the pastor was talking about. I never want to dumb those words down. I think we ought to always raise our standard up to the scripture and the things that it teaches, and stretch ourselves and educate ourselves rather than trying to dumb the Word of God down for us. One of those words, however, that is a powerful, powerful word is the word redeemed. And unfortunately, in our society today, that word means nothing to us. We just have no context at all to put that word into, to try to really define what it means. But I hope that we can do that in the few minutes that we have this morning before communion. Redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 18. We'll just read two verses. It says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." The word redeemed in its simplest terms could be defined as the payment of a price to release someone from bondage. Again, even that definition falls so far out of our realm of daily living and experience that we have to stretch ourselves to try to even understand what that means. The payment of a price to release someone from bondage. Someone went a little further and defined redemption in terms of what Christ has done for us as this: Redemption is the act of God in which He delivered us from sin based on the price which Christ paid with His blood. Now we're getting a little closer to where we need to be in understanding this word redeemed. I'll say that one more time. Redemption is the act of God in which He delivered us from sin based on the price, there's the key, which Christ paid with His blood. If we want to understand redemption, we're going to have to get out of our culture just a little bit and go back in time and try our best to picture a slave market where slaves are there chained up, unable to buy their own freedom. They have no way on their own, no way of improving their status or changing their master. And then someone comes along and pays the price to buy their freedom and set them free. A slave had no rights of his own, none whatsoever. He existed for the purpose of his master. He had no freedom, he had no rights, he could not come and go as he pleased. He had no power to make decisions on his own or change, as I said, his status. But a slave could be set free if someone paid the price for them, and the payment for that price was called redemption. Okay? I'm trying to bring this down in our minds to where this word that you see on the screen begins to have some meaning for us. And not just meaning, but personal weight and impact for us. The price that was paid to set a slave free was called redemption. You say, well, what is all this talk about slaves and being set free have to do with me? I've never been a slave to anyone. I've been free my whole life. Man, I was born in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I've never been a slave at all. Well, I'm here to tell you very courteously that you're mistaken. The Bible says that every one of us, were slaves to sin and to Satan. The Bible tells us, in fact, Jesus said in John 8:34, He said, "Very truly I tell you this." Now, here's a little tip for Bible study. Yours may say truly, truly. Yours may say verily, verily. But it's the same thing. Whenever you hear Jesus begin a sentence with the phrase, "Very truly I tell you this," you better pay attention because He's getting ready to throw a strike. And you better be ready for it. This is not a casual statement He's making. This is something very important. "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." 1 John 3:8 puts it this way, "The one who practices sin is of the devil." Now, that might be really offensive to some people to hear that. But the Bible makes it very clear that all of us were born, as I said last week or the week before, we were born enemies of God, under His wrath, awaiting His judgment for sin. We were all slaves to sin with Satan as our master. And listen, there was no way of setting ourselves free. I really want you to get that. There was absolutely nothing we could do. No amount of good works, no amount of church going, no amount of giving money to charity, no amount of obeying your parents or being kind to strangers or feeding the homeless, no amount of trying to be honest and good and nice and polite, no amount of any of that, the Bible says, would ever be enough to free us from the chains of sin. That's a pretty bad condition to be in. The Bible says that all our righteous acts amount to a pile of filthy rags. Well, how can God make a statement like that? Doesn't that sound cruel? You see, when you compare all of our best efforts to the holiness of God, I'm telling you, folks, we don't have a leg to stand on. This picture of slaves and chains and cruel taskmasters, again, as I said, it's something that is so far removed from us today. And so I want you to take just a minute with me and do your best. I'm sure the kids will be much better than us older folks at this, but I just want you to kind of go on a little journey with me for a minute. And I want you to go back in time in your mind's eye and just try to paint all of this out in your mind and picture a very dark, depressing time in history. And I want you to picture that you are a slave in an enormous, old, awful-looking castle. And there are dark clouds brewing over the castle with lightning flashing in the distance. And it's just this terrifying, frightening place. But that's where you live. And you spend 24 hours a day in chains. The chains are just long enough, maybe 30 or 40 feet, for you to move about in the area to which you've been assigned to accomplish the tasks that you have to do every day. And your clothes are tattered and ragged, and you have sores on you that no one will tend to, and you're sick and coughing and weak. And this is your existence. You are a slave, and not only a slave, but you're a slave to the man who is known far and wide as the cruelest master in the land. He has no pity, no sympathy whatsoever for his slaves, and he has thousands of slaves in this enormous estate, and you're just one among the many. And you wake up early every day with this feeling of hopelessness and gloom raining down upon you. And every morning you open your eyes, you know, there's no hope for me to ever escape this. I'm going to die here. And as you move about your day, your back is often beaten with the whip from this cruel master. And he pushes you harder and harder. And you're never able to satisfy him. You're never able to meet all of his demands. And once a year, this slave master, out of his cruelty, takes a group of slaves to the auction block and he chains them there. And just to punish you and just to demean you and dehumanize you even more, he sets a price on you that is so high no human could ever afford it. And he puts you through this process just to humiliate you and to tighten his grip on you mentally, knowing that you will never escape his hand. And other buyers come, and they look at you, and they see the price, and they shake their head, and they walk on by. And when that day is over, you're put back in the cart, and you're taken back to the castle, and you're chained once again, and the horror and the nightmare begins over and over again. Folks, I want to tell you, that is but a small glimpse of the condition that you and I were in before Christ. Are you with me on this? Just like with adoption, where you could not choose or demand entry into a family that is not your own, so with redemption, you did not have the means to buy your own freedom from sin. You did not have what it took to be released from its power or released from its penalty. You were doomed to that condition for the rest of your life and for all eternity. There was nothing that you could do to change it. Do you hear what I'm saying? People say, well, you know, with God and me, it was a 50-50 deal. You know, I high-five him and he did part of it and I did part of it. Let me tell you, my friend, you did nothing. You did nothing to free yourself from sin. If you have been redeemed this morning, it is not because of anything you did. It is only because God, in his great infinite love, paid the price to set you free. Romans 5:6 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. What a verse. And the price was very high. You know, it would have been bad enough if the price for our freedom was all the gold and all the silver in the entire world. I mean, that would have been a staggering price to pay. But the price required to redeem us was far more costly than that. If we can even try to calculate that. Did you hear it in the verses I read in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19? For you know that it was not with, did you catch this? Perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. Let's stop there just a second. Who in their right mind refers to gold and silver as perishable, throwaway stuff? I mean, don't men spend their lives clamoring and fighting and clawing and cheating and backbiting and all, trying to get more gold and silver? We treasure those things. And yet, Peter says, gold and silver, compared to what Christ paid, are disposable items. It would be like you going home and taking all your gold and silver jewelry and throwing it in the trash can with the potato peelings. That's the value that it has compared to Christ. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Wow. Not just the blood of Christ, the precious blood. I read a story years ago of a husband and wife who were called to the scene of an accident with their son. And it was at this busy intersection. The son had driven through the intersection, and someone had come screaming through the intersection and hit him, and he was laying in the road dying. They were called to the scene. They raced to the scene. And they're holding their son in their arms. The father said he remembered there was just blood everywhere. He said there was so much blood. There was a trail of it, he said, that was running across the street, a little trickle of his son's blood. And as the police were directing the cars around this accident through the street, he said he remembered looking over and seeing that cars were unknowingly driving through that little trail of blood. And he said he wanted to scream out and say, no, that's my son's blood. And their son, Ed and Vera Bajenski, their names, their son died in their arms at that scene. And they remember talking about how they wish they could just go and scoop up the precious blood of their son that gave him life and somehow put it back in his body. We must hear these words. You and I were redeemed. The price was paid to set us free. Not with cheap old silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And the key to understanding what we've truly been given in Christ is to understand the utter hopelessness of our condition before Him. Not only were we bound in the chains of sin, but listen, God was under no obligation whatsoever to save us. None. And it's in light of those two truths that the one who came to save us becomes so much more precious to us. Oh, I hope he does to you. We must get through our heads once and for all. And we must banish from our thinking once and for all this idea that as we face the circumstances of life, that God is somehow being unfair with us. Friends, nothing could be further from the truth. We all face horrible, gut-wrenching times in life, but we dare never face those circumstances and shake a fist at God and say, God, how dare you be so unfair with me? I'm going to tell you something, friends. God has already been more fair with us than we ever deserve. And as I've told you many times before, if God never did another thing for us for the rest of our life, we would still owe him every moment of our allegiance and love and gratitude and praise. That's the truth. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8 says, "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Listen, did God just sort of trickle a little bit of his love and grace and mercy out on us? No, no. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. That's Christ, the gift of Christ. He held nothing back. He lavished his love upon us. And so the question comes, how much must I love this one who paid the price for my freedom? How deep must my devotion be to the one who bought my freedom with his own blood? How loudly must I sing his praises every day of my life? We who were completely bankrupt, slaves to sin and Satan, with no hope of ever being set free, we have been redeemed. We've been set free by the blood of Christ. That evil taskmaster has no hold on us any longer. Folks, this is more of the good news we've been talking about. We've been set free. The chains have been broken. Wow. As you think of your own life and your own past, what chains can you look back and see that have been broken because of Christ? You know, we all have our own unique past. We all have things that once chained us and held us captive. But hopefully, friends, hopefully your story doesn't end there. The gospel is the story of changed lives. And I pray this morning that your story is a story of redemption. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life. Maybe you've tried to be a good person, but you've never come to the place where you've bowed your knee before him and bowed your heart and your will before him and said, "Lord, I am a sinner. I know I'm lost without you. I need your forgiveness and salvation." If you have never done that, would you please grab me afterwards? I would love to talk to you. I would love to share with you from the Bible how you can change that today. For all of you who have been redeemed and you know Christ, we invite you to come now and partake of the Lord's Supper. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, the Bible says he took the bread and he broke it, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is broken for you." And then it says, after supper, in the same way, he took the cup and gave it to them and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this, all of you, in remembrance of me." And that's what we're doing this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of Christ. Thank you for what that really means to us, even though we only understand a little part of it. Thank you, Father, for the chains that are broken through the blood of Christ, for the freedom that comes to those who will put their faith in you. And we want to take time now this morning and give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.